Thank you, sir. I want to thank the Lord today for this privilege and opportunity I have to be with you again. I tell you, I want to thank God for this day and the day He's made and how He's just been merciful to us, watched over us, and daily just loads us with benefits. We that are saved, His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting to those that fear Him. And I tell you, if it wasn't for the mercy of God and wasn't for the grace of God, I never gotten saved. I would have died in sin and went to hell. There's no way that man could redeem himself. There's no way that man could get to heaven outside the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the door. He's the one that died, shed His blood, redeemed man back to God, made it possible that sinners such as you and me could be justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ through His blood. I tell you, to get to heaven, and I tell you, it's the only way that anyone gets to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. No one gets to heaven by believing in God only, just believing on this and that. I tell you, it's only through the Lord Jesus. Now, God is God the Father. He's God the Son. He's God the Holy Spirit. The Godhead is a Trinity, but yet they're one. And I tell you today that you must come through the Lord Jesus. He takes the Word of God. The Lord does. He uses the Holy Spirit to speak to you, to deal with you, to convict you. I tell you, give you understanding, give you eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand. And I tell you, the Lord will deal with you if you'll let Him. He'll speak to you. And I tell you, He'll put you into the family and the household of God. I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus died for my sins. And I tell you, I hated that He suffered like He did, but He paid the price. And on the cross, He said, "It's finished." He gave up the ghost. He died. The Bible said He gave up the ghost. They couldn't take His life. He gave it. And I tell you, the Bible said He went by the way of the grave. He went by that way. And no doubt the Bible said that there was an empty tomb there that was laid. I believe that was belonged to Joseph of Arimathea. I believe it was. But there He was. He was there in that grave. His body was. Now I'll tell you, now the Bible said He went to hell for us. And He took our place and He took the keys of death from the devil. And He got up from the grave. He got up from the Bible said He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And He got up. And the Bible said when He got up, He was seen about, no doubt, 40 days, I think it was. He was seen by some of those and as He went. And I tell you, there once He was resurrected from the dead, and then He was caught up. They seen Him get caught up into the air. And I tell you, He said don't be gazing up. The angel said, and about this thing in the like manner, He's going to come back. Just as He went up, He's going to come back. And He's going to get this church out of here. And so the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus paid an awful price for our sin. He took your place. He took my place. He conquered it all. And I tell you, he took sin. He abolished it. I mean, He overcame it. And I tell you, he overcame hell. He overcame the grave. In other words, He made the way that we could be saved and get to heaven. And now that He lives, I live also. I tell you, since He lives, He's been resurrected from the dead. I tell you, I live a newness of spirit. I've got the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit, living inside of me. The old man that I used to be died when I got saved, when I died to sin. I tell you, I was born a new creature in Christ. And I tell you, I belong to God. And I tell you, that's when I started really living. And I tell you, now I've been born again. I've been born a second time. And that's what's essential to get you to heaven. You must have a born again experience. You must have that main baptism that the Bible talks about, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. I tell you, there's only one Lord, that's Jesus. You got to have faith in Jesus, and I tell you, believe on Him. And the Bible tells us in one baptism, and that's by Jesus. And I tell you today, if you'll just come to Him, I tell you, Him, and pour out your heart and call upon Him for mercy and forgiveness of sin, and He'll save you. He'll make you a new creature in Christ. I tell you, I wouldn't give you anything for these people that just get a mouth confession out of others. I tell you, they just give them a prayer to say, and I tell you that then they say it, and they say, "You just got yourself saved." I tell you, I wouldn't give you anything for that. I mean, if their heart's not broke and contrite, if they're not really sincere with God, if their heart's not really broke and sincere, they don't get saved. I tell you, but if they do come to God, if you do pray with them, and I think that's good if they want you to pray with them, and if God's in it, but I got to pray with some, and I told them right away that this is a thing that's personal, and that they need to pray out of their heart to God for mercy and forgiveness of their sin, that I would pray with them about calling on Him, and I tell them how to pray. And I tell you, I prayed with some, and some did get saved. I've seen people get saved. It's a joy to my heart. I know they got saved, but there's some that I've seen, and I've seen some get counterfeited. I tell you, the devil's that good. He's that vile. He goes and he blinds. The Bible said that the god of this world has blinded their minds, unless the good news of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. The devil has blinded the minds of the people today. He blinds it with religion. That's one of the greatest tools, if not the greatest tool the devil has, is religion. And I tell you, he uses it. He twists the scripture. He twists the word of God. And I tell you, he confuses people. And I tell you, he makes some think that they're all right when they're not all right. I tell you, even to a believer, he can make you think that you're doing good. And like one man said, like you're setting the woods on fire, so to speak. And I mean, you're just doing everything, and God's blessing you and all this stuff. But yet you can't really see yourself. You're walking in your flesh. You're not really being used by the Spirit of God. The power of God's not really on you. And you can't really help them. But I tell you, the devil's will use that. He'll blind anyone he can. But I'm thankful that he can't blind me according to salvation, because Jesus has already saved me. He made me new. And I tell you, I walk in newness of life, and I know who God is. But he can take my flesh. If I sow to my flesh, in my flesh I'll reap corruption. And he can cause me to be into a place where, I tell you, where I really can't discern where I really stand with the Lord. The Bible said if we get in front of the mirror and the look in peace, if we don't do anything about it, if we don't correct it, we go our way, then we're going to forget what matter of person that we really are. We really won't be able to see ourselves clearly where we stand with God. And that then, therefore, we get confused, we get blinded by this old flesh. And I tell you, I don't want to ever end up like that. And I pray every day that God would help me, that I would see myself in a better way. I tell you, the closer I get to the Lord, the more I see how far I need to get better. And I tell you, I just have to cry out like one man did, the prophet Isaiah, "Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I'm unclean." I tell you, there's nothing good about my flesh. I tell you, Paul talked about it in the book of Romans 8. He talked about his flesh, how rotten it was, how depraved it was, and how that when he would do good, that there was an evil, there was a warfare going on in his flesh that tried to cause him to do wrong or do the opposite or being tempted by the things that's in the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eye. That's what the devil uses on the flesh today. He's always done that, and he's gotten much better at it. I tell you, he's the liar and the father of it, and he works on these types of things. But Paul knew about his flesh. He knew that his heart's desire and his will was to do the will of God. He wanted to please the Lord, and he said, "Therefore, I'll follow after the inward man." He's talking about the Spirit of God. He's going to follow that inward man that's been renewed day by day. It's being renewed because we've been made a new man in Christ, a new person in Christ. And that's what we desire, and that's who we look for, that's what we're searching for, that's what we're trying to do our best to build up our most holy faith in that inward man, that we may please Him. He's called us and chosen us to be a soldier. And so that's what it's all about. And see, it's to put out the outward man. This old outward man, the Bible said, is dying every day. The inward man is being renewed day by day. But this old outward person, this old flesh, is going to go back to the dust from whence it came. And we got to die to the desires of the flesh and the depravity that's in our flesh and the sin that's in our bodies. We got to say no to it. That's why Paul wrote unto the church of Rome and others as well, to crucify, mortify, and put to death the deeds of the body, that we might please Him as called us and chosen us to be a soldier. We're to put away the flesh. We're to say no to it. We're not seek to please our flesh, but we're to seek to please God. And when we please God, we are definitely pleased. We're comforted. We got that great contentment that we need, and our heart does not condemn us if we walk in the Spirit and not in our flesh. And so, therefore, we're walking and we're encouraged. And I tell you, we're having fellowship with the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit. Thank God we have the Holy Spirit to help us in all that we need to do. Thank God the Bible said we do not know how to pray as we ought to pray, but the Spirit helps us. It helps us with our infirmities. It helps us all the way around because we don't know how to pray as we ought to pray. And so as we come to Him, the Bible said the Spirit helps our infirmities. For we know not what we shall pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. There's things that we can't utter. There's things that we don't know how to express, but thank God we have the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit abiding in our souls. And I tell you, He leads and guides and directs our paths, and He intercedes the prayers that we're trying to pray. And the Bible said, He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what's in the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I tell you, He knows what's in our minds and in our hearts, and the Spirit, I tell you, intercedes that. And thank God we have a great intercessor on the right hand of the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, that knows our case, that represents us unto the Father, that prays for us. And I thank God that He does. If it wasn't for that, we'd be consumed. I tell you, the mercy of God, I tell you, thank God for it today. I thank God I have a great high priest that I can come to, and I can present my case. I can come before Him, and I can cast all my care on Him, for He cared for me. The Bible said there's a great high priest that we can go, and we can touch Him by prayer. We can come, the Bible said, we can come boldly to the throne of grace and find help in a time of need and a time of trouble. We can come. He can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He was in all points tempted as we are, but He was without sin. He was the sinless one. He tasted of it. He was tempted. He faced all kind of things. The devil tried to offer Him things. The devil tempted Him. But He couldn't fall to sin. And I tell you, He was tempted to show us that He is God, that He is above it, and He is the righteous one. It wasn't for Him, but to try Him to see that He was God. He is God. It was for us to see. And therefore, He is the Son of God. He is the one that abolished it. He's the one that took it away. The Bible said He broke down the middle wall that of the partition that was between us. The Bible says Jew and Gentile, bond of free. That's what He's talking about. He broke it down that we all could come by one Spirit unto the boldly to the throne of grace. He made the way that we all could come through the Lord Jesus, by one body through the Lord Jesus. That's how He did it. I tell you, because He included not just the Jew, but the Gentile, all. He included all, that all could be saved. The Bible said he first was unto His people, the Jews there, and he provoked them to jealousy by turning to a people that wasn't a people, to the heathen, to the Gentiles, because they hadn't heard, they hadn't really seen and heard the good word of God, and they didn't have it like the Jews had, but God turned to them, and that's why God, He called Peter to be a minister unto the Jews, and He called Paul to be a minister unto the Gentiles, and He included all men everywhere to come and to repent. And that's what the Lord is calling for you today, to come and to repent. If you've never been saved, come and confess your sin, pour out your heart, ask Him to have mercy upon you as a sinner, and that you lost, you're hellbound, you have no hope whatsoever, and ask Him to have mercy and cleanse you and forgive you and save you. Don't let up till you know you've been saved. He'll take away all your sin. He'll put the Spirit of the living God in you, and you'll walk in newness of life. You won't be alone. You'll have the Comforter. You'll have your friend, the Lord Jesus, abiding by the Holy Spirit on the inside, and you'll be a new creature. You'll know you've been saved once you get saved. But I see my time's come and gone. God bless you in Jesus' precious name, and amen.